This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And we ask him to send his choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and every single individual who embraces the prophetic teachings with ikhlas and sincerity until the end of time. A sacred chapter concludes. The spiritual journey continues. My beloved congregation, my dear brothers and sisters, as we all gather here, this beautiful dawn of Eid al-Fitr, our hearts are filled with joy and our souls are overflowing with sakina, with peace. We stand at the threshold, at the culmination of a spiritual journey, of a spiritual chapter, and at the threshold of a new beginning. This beautiful month of Ramadan that we are bidding farewell, a period of deep reflection, deep introspection, rigorous ibadah, fasting, qiyam, reading of the Quran, sadaqah, zakah, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, heightened worship. This month, this period has concluded, this blessed season has concluded, yet the journey of spiritual growth and self-improvement that it has ignited within us must not end. The chapter has concluded, but the journey must not end. So today, as we celebrate Eid al-Fitr, we must also celebrate the emergence of a new you. That's the title for my sermon today. Transformed. A new you. Transformed. Purified. Forgiven. Rejuvenated. And ready to embark on this continuous path of righteousness. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, our beautiful deen, Islam, offers us this valuable and precious gift of renewal. A chance to erase our past mistakes, a chance to start afresh with a brand new slate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker, in His infinite mercy, He opens the doors of maghfirah, He opens the doors of forgiveness, and He showers us with His grace, urging us to return to Him. Yani the concept of tawbah, urging us to return to Him, no matter how far we may have strayed. His forgiveness is vast. He is waiting for us. His mercy is ever encompassing. And this is why He says in the noble Quran in Surah Az-Zumar, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ قُلْ Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ If one were to spend a little bit of time reflecting on the usage of words here by our Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ibadi, O my slaves, Alladina asrafu ala anfusihim, the ones who have transgressed themselves, Allahu Akbar. Allah didn't say, O criminals, O wrongdoers, O transgressors, O sinners. Because the context is right. If Allah wanted to, harshly, He could have addressed us. And would we be in a position to find fault? We are already in the wrong. We've already slipped. We've already drifted. We've already made so many mistakes. So Allah has all the right, being Rabbul Alameen, to address us as sinners, to humiliate us. But look at the love. Look at the affection. Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. Number one, He addresses us, Ya ibadi, O my slaves. He didn't say, like I said, sinners. And then again, if you look at the next choice of words, asrafu ala anfusihim, the ones who have wronged themselves. Allah didn't say, or the ones who have committed zina, the ones who stole, the ones who lied, the ones who gossiped, the ones who earned wealth through unlawful means.
the ones who did this, the ones who did that. Allah didn't address us as such. الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. He covers our mistakes. He conceals our faults. And he says, the ones who have wronged themselves. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. O you, my slaves who have wronged yourselves, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا.
Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Allah forgives all sins.
إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
Indeed, He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. If this ayah alone does not fill our hearts with hope, I don't know what will. Look at the ayah. Oh my slaves, the ones who have wronged themselves, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Whatever the sin may be, Allah forgives all sins. إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Indeed, He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, hadith is recorded in the book of Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. You see, when you go through the science of hadith, or rather when you go through the collections of hadith, you will come across a subsection, a small collection of narrations that talk about the last person to enter Jannah. The last person to enter Jannah. So you have various descriptions, and how we reconcile with all of these narrations is that this subset, this sub-collection of a hadith, talk about the last individuals to enter Jannah. Last individuals to enter Jannah. So the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please remember salawat, I mentioned his beautiful name. He describes the situation of one such individual who will enter Jannah last. The narration goes along the lines of these words. So this individual will first be in Jahannam. Allah protect us all. May Allah protect us from the blazing fire of Jahannam. There was the need for him to be purified. So he will first be in Jahannam. And now he will be brought from Jahannam after his period of purification. Don't take it lightly. But after this period of purification, he will be brought in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be brought to the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. You and I, we are all going to stand in front of Allah. Every word of ours is going to be taken into account. Every action of ours. So now Allah will address the slave. And it will be said, oh my slave, you committed this and you committed that. And this slave of Allah will not deny. Why? Because there's no way to deny. Fi kitabin mubin, everything is recorded. Everything, every fleeting thought is recorded. Today at times we take pride over our security systems, our cameras and our recording systems. Artificial intelligence has been incorporated as well. Facial recognition and whatnot. This is Allah's surveillance. Trust me, nothing is going to be hidden. Nothing. Everything will be recorded. You will not be able to deny anything. So all will be mentioned. And this slave, humbled, head hanging, he stands dejected in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after all these are mentioned, Allah will decree, let these mistakes, let these sins. Now just before that, I have to mention that some of his major sins will not be mentioned at that juncture. Some of his major sins will not be mentioned. And in a way, if we were to empathize and put ourselves in the shoes of this individual, he might feel relieved. Oh, alhamdulillah, some of my mistakes have not been mentioned. The major ones have not been mentioned. And perhaps he's anxious. Are those sins also going to be mentioned? Now before that, Allah decrees, let all his sins be transformed into good deeds. Allahu Akbar.
لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله.
not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. So it is decreed that these sins of his be transformed into good deeds. Now just a while ago, this man was anxious. He was relieved and anxious. Some of my major sins have not been mentioned, and I hope they are not mentioned. Now at this decree, at this announcement that his sins are being transformed into good deeds, he blurts out, "Ya Allah, but there are some more sins of mine. There are some more sins of mine that have not been mentioned." Now why is he saying this? He's saying it with hope, so that those sins will also be transformed into good deeds, so that those will also be added to his mountain of good deeds. Subhanallah. Look at the kindness, look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another narration about two individuals doomed to Jahannam. Again, from the same subset, from the same collection of narrations that talk about the last individuals to enter paradise. They're doomed. They're being dragged to Jahannam. They're being taken to Jahannam. This individual keeps looking back, looking towards the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He keeps looking back, yearning and longingly. He's again called, and it is asked, "Why do you keep turning back?" And he responds, in hope, towards the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah forgives him. Allah forgives him. A man doomed to Jahannam, but he's forgiven and granted entry into Jannah. Another individual, another hadith, he is also brought out from Jahannam, and it is said to him, "Go to Jannah and find your place." From the last people to enter paradise, this man will also make his way to Jannah, and he will see that Jannah will be full. It will seem as if it is full to him. He will come back and say, "Ya Allah, Jannah is full." It will be said to him, go find your place in Jannah." This man will go again. It will seem as if Jannah is full. He will come back and say, "Ya Allah, Jannah is full." He said, go back and find your place in Jannah. He will go back now for the third time and come back and report that Jannah is full. And then it will be said to him, "O slave of mine, would it please you if you are given a Jannah that is equivalent to this dunya and 10 times greater than it?" This man will be shocked. He will cry out, "Ya Allah, you are Rabbul Alameen, you are the Lord of all worlds. Are you making a mockery out of me? Are you making fun of me?" And then at that juncture, the narrator of the hadith smiles. And then he says, "Will you not ask me why I'm smiling?" Then the people around him ask the narrator, "Why are you smiling?" Then he says, "The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled at this juncture when narrating the hadith. And we asked the same question." And he responded saying, "Allah Azza wa Jal will smile. And he will say, I am the Lord of all worlds. I can do what I wish. Allah Akbar." And this last person to enter Jannah will experience a Jannah just like the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this is to instill in your hearts that yes, this beautiful chapter, we're bidding farewell to it, but the journey should not stop. You see, you have to understand that the demons that were shackled during the month of Ramadan are all unleashed now. Along with the demons, we have other evil forces at play. You have your own nafs. During the month of Ramadan, that spiritual boot camp, it was a good opportunity for you to assess how your nafs, the situation of your nafs, if you felt inclined towards evil during the month of Ramadan, you can't play the blame game anymore during the month of Ramadan. You can't say, you know, "I blame shaitan for this." You are to blame your own self. So it is our nufus that need to be tamed and disciplined. So the month of Ramadan, a good opportunity to tame our nafs, to discipline our nafs. But now, we're out of the simulation. Now it's the real thing. The demons are unshackled. Shaitan is out there. His sworn mission is to mislead as many of us as possible. So now, my dear brothers and sisters, we must be careful. We must be wary. Let not the tawbah that you indulge in during the month of Ramadan, the seeking of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during Ramadan, go in vain. Don't let it go in vain. Allah is forgiving, yes, but we must not take His mercy for granted. So therefore, go on, continue the good deeds that you indulged in during the month of Ramadan. your relationship with the house of Allah, your relationship with the Quran, your relationship with regards to charity, with regards to helping those who are less fortunate. Don't let go of all of this outside of Ramadan. And importantly, your priorities. During the month of Ramadan, you are focused on your heart. You are focused on purifying your heart. Just as how you abstain from food and drink, you abstain from matters that would contaminate your heart. You abstain from ill speech, from negative speech, from toxic speech, from using swear words, from cursing. You stayed away from all of this. So during the outside of the month of Ramadan as well, have these things in practice. Do not let go of these matters. This is of utmost importance. It cannot be that we are slaves of Ramadan. We are not. Who are we? We are the slaves of Allah. Ramadan comes once a year, 1 month, and Ramadan leaves us the remainder 11 months. Allah is there. So let us not become slaves of Ramadan, where only during Ramadan we pray, only during Ramadan we read the Quran, only during Ramadan we come to the house of Allah, only during Ramadan we give out sadaqah and charity. Only during Ramadan we stay away from that which is haram and that which is negative. Outside of Ramadan we go back to our old ways. Then we are not going to be identified as slaves of Allah, rather slaves of the month of Ramadan. May Allah protect us all. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the last few minutes that I have with you all, maintain the purity of your heart. Look at the hadith that I shared at the beginning. The man who is brought to the court of Allah and his sins are now being mentioned. SubhanAllah. You and I, we all have sins. None of us are flawless. We all commit mistakes. We all have sins. So let us look to the mercy of Allah. Look at how He forgave us. But ask yourself, I want Allah to forgive me, but do I forgive others? It's a pertinent question. When I am wrong, is my heart willing to forgive the other person? Number two, if I am exposed to the mistake of another individual, it does not have to be towards me. I see the fault of someone else. Do I, at that juncture, degrade that individual and humiliate that individual? Sometimes you will go beyond that and start gossiping and backbiting about that individual. Or do I make excuses for that individual? Do I look towards the good of that individual? Do I conceal the faults of that individual? We want Allah to conceal our faults, but we don't conceal the faults of others. Then how or how can we expect our faults to be concealed? SubhanAllah. Conceal the faults of others. Conceal the mistakes of others. And your faults will be concealed. Your mistakes will be concealed. None of us in this gathering or outside of this gathering can say, you know, I am fault free. I'm flawless. I make no mistake whatsoever. SubhanAllah. Even the messenger did not claim such things. Allahu Akbar. So how dare we think of such thoughts? So therefore, we know that we are full of faults. We make mistakes left, right and center, myself included. It can be the greatest imam, the greatest scholar. Any human being, any creature of Allah will acknowledge to the fact that we all have to turn to Him in Tawbah. We are all desperate for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, let us be the same unto His creation. Let us conceal the faults of others. Let us think good of others. Let us not judge others. Today, a lot of us tend to judge other people. And why we read in the Quran, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. It is an ayah that is familiar for a lot of people, I would say. Surah Al-Teen, the last ayah, where we say, is Allah not the best of judges? We say that and we respond to that as well. Bala wa ana dhalika wa ana ala dhalika min ash-shahideen. No doubt that I am witness to that, subhanAllah. And yet, what do? We now go on to judge others. We make judgments about other individuals, about their lives, about how they carry themselves. Leave those judgments unto Allah. I think we have a lot more to focus inwards on our own lives, our own families, our own transactions, our own interactions, our own hearts. So this month of Ramadan served as an opportunity to recalibrate our focus, to put our priorities straight. So do not let the devil now come in and mess up with your priorities again. Do not let him come in and mislead you again. A believer is intelligent. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us along the lines of these words that the believer is not stung by what is in the same hole twice. You put your hand into a cave or a hole or a crack in the wall and something bites you. Let's say there's something inside that and it bites you. Does it make sense now for you to put your hand inside there again? You won't. Why? Because you burnt your fingers. Something bit you. So the Messenger tells us the believer does not put his hand into the same hole twice. So we know with past experiences that we have slipped. We know our weaknesses. So it is important that we assess and analyze all of this, not to fall prey, not to fall into that same pit again. If you know you have a weakness, then work towards moving yourself away from that weakness. And the weaknesses vary, it's subjective. What is a weakness for me may not be a weakness for you. But if you identify it as a weakness, and you know this is a place where you slip, you know this is a place that the devil capitalizes, you know this is a place where your demons overpower you, then be wary and careful of such places, of such instances, of such things. Your spirituality is at stake. Think, with your wealth, you're very careful. If you know of an individual who has cheated you, who has done you wrong, it wouldn't make sense for you to now go and partner with that individual again, or give money to that individual, invest with that individual. You're careful. You're careful. You won't cite that individual again. Why? Because you value your money, you value your assets, you value your wealth. Then what about your spirituality? What about your spiritual health? When you know that this will compromise my spiritual health, this will affect my spiritual health, you must be careful not to venture into such things and such places, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. So as I conclude, you have to understand that Allah has means to purify us. One is through good deeds. The more good deeds you do, it purges your evil deeds, it purges your sins. Just like if you might have seen these videos on TikTok of people showing you hold a glass with whatever, contaminated liquid to a tap of good flowing water, and the more good and pure water goes into the tap, it purges out the bad contaminated liquid. So the more good deeds you do, it purges and it offsets the bad deeds. Number two, tawbah, sincere tawbah. Turning to Allah sincerely, asking Allah to forgive us. And many of us would have done it in the month of Ramadan. So now you're given a brand new slate. Number three, Allah also purifies through trials, calamities and challenges that are put to your way. So you see, at times certain individuals are put through all of this and purified. Some it would suffice for them to be purified by one thing or two things. So trials, challenges, you lose a loved one, you're put through financial difficulty, someone cheats you, you go through a health problem, different trials and calamities, you lose a child, you lose a parent, you lose a spouse, you lose a sibling, you lose a loved one. The pain, the anguish, the Messenger tells us, not even a thorn pricks a believer, except that his sins are forgiven, his ranks are raised. Allah Akbar. But if an individual is not purified through three of these matters, then he or she will have to be purified in al-akhirah, and that will only be through the fire of Jahannam. May Allah protect us all. So we pray that Allah purifies us through the three aforementioned ones connected to this world, in this worldly life itself, and that we return unto Him in a pure state. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us. May He bless us with long, healthy and productive lives to attain many more Ramadan in the future. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins. May He help us to stay away from the traps of shaitan, from the traps of the devil. And just as how He united us here for Eid al-Fitr, may He unite us in the beautiful, lofty gardens of Jannah in the companionship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wayan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. My dear brothers and sisters, Eidukum Mubarak. I wish you all a very blessed and happy Eid. Taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum salih al-a'mal. And I pray as I conclude, may this Eid be the beginning of a new chapter in our lives. And may Allah fill it with peace, with happiness, and continuous spiritual growth. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khair. So, inshallah, we are going to be praying Salatul Eid.